Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hello there. Thanks so much for joining me. On this show, we will be discussing patience. Now, before you turn the show off thinking, I don't have time for this, maybe you're the exact person who should be listening. All good things come in time, right? Well, yes, but we will also be talking about persistence and resilience because there is so much to do during the waiting. Most of us would probably vote quick fix over long-term strategy, even though the latter, just by title, sounds a little more solid. Quick and easy is what appeals to us most. Quick means I can have it now, and even if it is short-term, the problem is solved and I can worry about it again when the time comes. Ready to see why being persistent and finding a long-term strategy is our most valuable option? When met with a challenge, it's instinctive to be reactive. You need to react at that moment since it requires immediate action. After the initial threat is gone, it may be time to dig in and look for a long-term strategy to avoid this happening again. Life is about developing a plan and then executing that plan. Sometimes that plan involves major life goals, and other times it's about handling each obstacle and staying on track. You might think about your life in quadrants: learning your way, establishing your roots, growing in your awareness, and then passing on your knowledge. In each of these sections of life, there's a general plan. You need to learn and grow in multiple areas to get to the next stage of life. In many ways, you have help, family members, teachers, mentors. And in other ways, you're doing research and adjusting your plan based on your own experiences, both good and bad. Your plan includes a series of long-term and short-term goals. Let's, for a moment, grab that higher vantage point. You know, the one where we look down on our life plan to put things into perspective. Yours might look like a maze where you had to change your direction multiple times to avoid pitfalls. Some you saw and some came out of nowhere. Maybe instead of finding another way out, you feel trapped in a repetitive pattern, going in circles. It's easy to look for the quick way out. At least then you're out, right? But what happens next time when you're faced with the next challenge? The quest to become a better version of yourself often feels like a roller coaster ride. It's hard, and it's usually so uneven. You can end in failure, but life is a journey, not a marathon. So you always have another opportunity to restart and improve. Thomas Oppong writes about the Japanese philosophy of Kaizen as a way to manage long-term goals. Many people look out for secrets, tricks, and hacks that will make everything better right now. But unfortunately, life doesn't work that way. There are no overnight successes. Think of all the incredible people you truly admire. They didn't succeed because of one giant move, but rather a series of small and consistent actions over time. Stop aiming for radical personal change. A magic bullet cannot save you. You've got to embrace the process and enjoy it. You can't escape the hard work it takes to get better. Every incredible, successful person you know today has been through that boring, mundane, time-tested process that eventually brings success. So, stop looking for quick hacks that bring faster results. Instead of reading every self-improvement post for that one golden tip that will make you superhuman, focus on doing the actual work that needs to be done. You can inspire yourself to take action. The hard, long process is the only way through. You can't achieve tremendous life success with a quick fix. Nobody has it that easy. Your big, audacious goals are not inspiring you. Your attempt to be better usually ends in failure because your life-changing goals overwhelm you into inaction instead of inspiring you into action. Unrealistic goals make it insanely difficult to make any progress. You will get stressed out over this, and what is supposed to help you take action will actually hold you back. An overwhelming goal looks scary to your brain, and when your brain encounters scary, it goes into freeze mode. You don't want that. If you constantly overstretch yourself, you will lose the required energy you need to take the necessary action to get better. Setting a goal, no matter how simple, is always the easiest part. Everyone has goals. The real challenge is not determining if you want the result, but if you're willing to accept the sacrifices required to achieve your goals. If you want to achieve your goal every time, create a system that works. Instead of a goal, design a great system or process. That way, you will always win. Even when your short-term goals are achieved, your next goal won't be a struggle. Having a system is what matters. Committing to the process makes a huge difference. James Clear explains, "We place unnecessary stress on ourselves to lose weight or to succeed in business or to write a best-selling novel. Instead, you can keep things simple and reduce stress by focusing on the daily process and sticking to your schedule rather than worrying about the big life-changing goals. When you focus on the practice instead of the performance, you can enjoy the present moment and improve at the same time. Self-improvement isn't a destination. You're never done. I know that sounds daunting, but even if you have some success and you want to maintain it, you have to keep going and doing things, the things you were doing that got you the success in the first place. Your first step to improving your life and becoming the best version of yourself won't be easy. Nobody can promise you that things will be easy, but they will get better. It pays to take small action, any action, and grow from there. Remember, you are better off when trying and crawling than any other person who isn't trying at all. Little strokes fell great oaks." What an awesome and visual quote by Benjamin Franklin. Little strokes fell great oaks. The Kaizen approach was developed by Depression-era American business management theorists in order to build the arsenal of democracy that helped the U.S. win World War II. The Japanese took the idea of small, continual improvement right away and gave it the name Kaizen. While Kaizen was originally developed to help businesses improve and thrive, it's just as applicable in our personal lives. The idea here is to focus on consistent, everyday improvements in your life, ones that make you better than you were yesterday, rather than how small the step you take is. According to Brett and Kate McKay, in The Art of Manliness, instead of trying to make radical changes in a short amount of time, just make small improvements every day that will gradually lead to the change you want. Each day, just focus on getting 1% better in whatever it is you're trying to improve. That's it, just 1%. It might not seem like much, but those 1% improvements start compounding on each other, and before you know it, in the beginning, your improvements will be so small as to seem practically non-existent. But gradually and over a slow amount of time, you'll start to see and notice improvements in your life. It may take months or even years, but the improvements will come. If you just focus on consistently upping your game by what? 1%. When you improve a little each day, eventually big things occur. When you improve conditioning a little each day, eventually you have a big improvement in conditioning. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but eventually a big gain is made. Don't look for the big, quick improvement. Seek the small improvement one day at a time. That's the only way it happens. And when it happens, it lasts. The Kaizen approach is a reminder that all improvements must be maintained if we wish to secure consistent gains. Think of the smallest step you can take every day that would move you incrementally towards your goal. Becoming 1% better every day is a simple, practical way to achieve big goals. 1% seems like a small amount. Yes, it is. It's tiny, it's easy, it's doable. And it's applicable in most things you want to do or accomplish. It feels less intimidating and it's more manageable. It might feel less exciting than chasing a huge win, but its results will be stronger and more sustainable. Remember that idea of giving 100% of what you have every day? The idea is not to deplete yourself, but to give what you have. Today, you may have just a little bogged down by the weight of what's going on around you, but still give all of it. I love this visualization, this image. It's something for me to strive for. So many times we put off doing something today because we don't feel like we have enough to give, and we vow to try again tomorrow. Tomorrow comes and we are in the exact same place. So again, we procrastinate getting started and hope for that feeling of being 100% ready. But what if instead you know whatever you have today is enough? Maybe it's only 25% of what you feel is 100%, but yet it's enough. Give it all and start moving forward. What a freeing thought that no matter where you are and what you have to give, it's enough. Jack Canfield puts it a little differently in his idea that 99% is a bee. I'm not going to say the word. And 100% is a breeze. And he listed this on meaningfulhq.com. In life, the spoils of victory go to those who make 100% commitment to the outcome, to those who have a no matter what it takes attitude. They give it their all. They put everything they have into their desired result, whether it be an Olympic gold medal, the top sales award, a perfect dinner party, or an A in microbiology. Maybe it's their dream house. What a simple concept this is. Yet, you'd be surprised how many people wake up every day and fight with themselves over whether or not to keep their commitments, stick to their disciplines, or carry out action plans. How about the no exceptions rule? Sounds kind of scary, right? No exceptions. Successful people adhere to this, the no exceptions rule. When it comes to their daily disciplines, once you make a 100% commitment to something, there is no exceptions. It's a done deal. Non-negotiable. Case closed. If I make a 100% commitment to publish at least one podcast every week, then it's done. I never have to think about it again. There are no exceptions, no matter what the circumstance is. It ends the discussion, closes the door, permits no other possibility. I don't have to wrestle with the decision every day. It's already been made. The die has been cast. All the bridges are burned. It makes life easier and simpler and keeps me on task. It frees up tons of energy that would otherwise be spent internalizing and debating the topic over and over and over, because all the energy I expend on internal conflict is now available to use in other areas of my life. If you make that 100% commitment to exercise every day for 30 minutes, no matter what, then it's settled. You just do it. It doesn't matter if you're traveling, if you have a 7 a.m. interview, if it's raining outside, if you went to bed late last night, if your schedule is full, or if you simply don't feel like it. You just do it anyway. It's like brushing your teeth before you go to bed. You always do it, no matter what. If you find yourself in bed and you've forgotten, you get out of bed and you brush your teeth. It doesn't matter how tired you are or how late it is. You just do it. Whether your discipline is to read for an hour, practice the piano 5 days a week, make 2 sales calls every day, learn a new language, practice typing, hit 200 golf balls, do 50 sit-ups, run 6 miles, meditate, pray, read, spend 60 quality minutes with your kids, or whatever else you need to do to achieve your goals. Commit 100% to those daily disciplines that will get you there. One final reason 100% is so important. Are you ready? This powerful 100% commitment also figures critically into other important areas, like the workplace. Consider what a commitment to just 99.9% quality would mean in the following work situations. It would mean 2 unsafe landings at O'Hara International Airport each day. It would mean 16,000 lost pieces of mail per hour. How about 20,000 incorrectly filled drug prescriptions every year? 500 incorrect surgical operations performed each week. 22,000 checks deducted from the wrong account each hour. Your heart failing to beat 32 times each year. You can see why 100% is such an important percentage. Just think how much better your life and the whole world would be if we were all committed to 100% commitment in everything that we do. Bottom line, being totally committed to your goals is just easier and a heck of a lot more convenient and conducive to your success than being partially committed. Here's some things to think about. What's one thing in your life that you're currently just partially committed to, but know you should be totally committed to? Write that down. What's one thing you can do right now to help yourself get totally committed to it? Write that down. Now, go take action on it. What you wrote down above right now, or get committed to doing it within the next 24 hours. Oh, and just in case you think about giving it anything less than everything you've got, remember 99% is a B, but 100% is a breeze. Feel like running a race, or at the very least, reworking your long-term strategy? Good. Me too. But with any plan, you want to consider timing and commitment level, and at the same time, foresee potential threats. No well-executed plan comes without a strategy, and part of a successful strategy is to plan for the unconsidered. You may want it now, but for whatever reason, the timing doesn't match. Be honest with yourself. Feeling empowered to give it 100% focus sounds great, but it might be unrealistic. You may need a strategy of short-term fixes just until you have space and capacity to consider a long-term plan. My mind immediately goes to what I've developed with Encouragementology over the last 2 years. The timing was perfect for me in my personal and professional life, but also with respect to the needs of my community. Now, knee-deep in raising 3 children, wouldn't have allowed me the same time and attention to focus on this endeavor. But also, I wasn't there in my own personal growth. Good intentions and drive just aren't enough. Get back right now up to that higher vantage point and look at the plan and how your current life aligns. Is this the right time? Or do you need to spend time in preparation? Maybe this is the perfect time and you're making plans right now to get started. As you mentally pack all the things you will need to execute your plan, consider and plan for potential personal threats. Resilience. It's not easy to keep up the same level of excitement and motivation when you're in it for the long haul. You are going to hit plateaus, lulls, and plenty of moments of self-doubt. It might be tempting to throw up your hands and look for a quick fix and call it done. Imagine you're going to take a raft trip down a river. Along with slow water and shallows, your map shows that you will encounter unavoidable rapids and turns. How would you make sure you can safely cross the rough waters and handle any unexpected problems that come from the challenge? Perhaps you would enlist the support of more experienced rafters as you plan your route or rely on the companionship of trusted friends along the way. Maybe you would pack an extra life jacket or consider using a stronger raft. With the right tools and support in place, one thing is sure. You will not only make it through the challenges of your river adventure, but you will also emerge a more confident and courageous rafter. Let's explore resilience with some information I found from the American Psychological Association. First of all, what is resilience? Life may not come with a map, but everyone will experience twists and turns, from everyday challenges to traumatic events with more lasting impact, like death of a loved one, a life-altering accident, or a serious illness. Each change affects people differently, bringing a unique flood of thoughts, emotions, and uncertainty. People generally adapt well over time to life-changing situations and stressful situations, in part thanks to resilience. Psychologists define resilience as the process of adapting well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, or significant sources of stress, such as family and relationship problems, serious health problems, or workplace and financial stressors. As much as resilience involves bouncing back from these difficult experiences, it can also involve profound personal growth. These adverse events, much like rough river water, are certainly painful and difficult, but they don't have to determine the outcome of your life. There are many aspects of your life you can control, modify, and grow with. That's the role of resilience. Becoming more resilient not only helps you get through a difficult circumstance, it also helps empower you to grow and even improve your life along the way. Being resilient doesn't mean that a person won't experience difficulty or distress. People who have suffered major adversity or trauma in their lives commonly experience emotional pain and stress. In fact, the road to resilience is likely to involve considerable emotional distress. Certain factors might make some individuals more resilient than others. Resilience isn't necessarily a personality trait that only some people possess. On the contrary, resilience involves behaviors, thoughts, and actions that anyone can learn and develop. The ability to learn resilience is one reason research has shown that resilience is ordinary, not extraordinary. One example is the response of many Americans to the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks and individuals' efforts to rebuild their lives after tragedy. Like building a muscle, increasing your resilience takes time and intentionality, focusing on four core components: connection, wellness, health thinking, and meaning, can empower you to withstand and learn from difficult and traumatic experiences. To increase your capability for resistance, grow from the difficulties using these strategies. First one, build your connections. Prioritize relationships. Connecting with empathetic and understanding people can remind you that you're not alone in the midst of difficulties. Focus on finding trustworthy and compassionate individuals who validate your feelings, which will support the skill of resilience. The pain of traumatic events can lead some people to isolate, but it's important to accept help and support from those you really care about. Whether you go on a weekly date night with your spouse or plan a lunch with a friend, try to prioritize genuinely connecting with people who care about you. Join a group. Along with one-to-one relationships, some people find that being active in civic groups, faith-based communities, or local organizations provides social support and can help you reclaim hope. Research groups in your area that could offer you support and a sense of purpose or joy when you need it. Take care of your body. Self-care may be popular. It's the buzzword, right? But it's also a legitimate practice for mental health and building resilience. That's because stress is just as much physical as it is emotional. Promoting positive lifestyle factors like proper nutrition, ample sleep, hydration, and regular exercise can strengthen your body to adapt to stress and reduce the toll of emotions like anxiety or depression. Practice mindfulness. Mindful journaling, yoga, or spiritual practices like prayer or meditation can also help people build connections and restore hope, which can prime them to deal with situations that require resilience. When you journal, meditate, or pray, ruminate on positive aspects of your life and recall the things you're grateful for, even during personal trials. Avoid negative outlets. It may be tempting to mask your pain with alcohol, drugs, or other substances, but that's like putting a bandage on a deep wound. Focus instead on giving your body resources to manage stress rather than seeking to eliminate the feeling of stress altogether. Find purpose. Help others, whether you volunteer with a local homeless shelter or simply support a friend in their own time of need. You can garner a sense of purpose, foster self-worth, connect with other people, and tangibly help others, all of which can empower you to grow in resilience. Be proactive. It's helpful to acknowledge and accept your emotions during hard times, but it's also important to help you foster self-discovery by asking yourself, what can I do about a problem in my life? If the problem seems too big to tackle, break it down into manageable pieces. For example, if you got laid off at work, you might not be able to convince your boss it was a mistake to let you go, but you can spend an hour each day developing your top strengths or working on your resume. Taking initiative will remind you that you can muster motivation and purpose even during stressful periods of your life. This will increase the likelihood that you'll rise up during painful times. Move towards your goals. Develop some realistic goals and do something regularly. Remember, 1%. Even if it seems like a small accomplishment, that enables you to move toward the things that you want to accomplish. Instead of focusing on tasks that seem unachievable, ask yourself, what's one thing I know I can accomplish today that helps me move in the direction I want to go? If you're struggling with the loss of a loved one and you want to move forward, you could join a grief support group in your area. That's 1%. Look for opportunities for self-discovery. People often find that they've grown in some respect as a result of a struggle. For example, after a tragedy or a hardship, people have reported better relationships and a greater sense of strength, even while feeling vulnerable. That can increase their sense of self-worth and heighten their appreciation of life. In everything you do, embrace healthy thoughts. Keep things in perspective. Remember that vantage point? How you think can play a significant part in how you feel and how resilient you are when faced with obstacles. Try to identify areas of irrational thinking, such as a tendency to catastrophize, or assume the world is out to get you and adopt a more balanced and realistic thinking pattern. If you feel overwhelmed by a challenge, remind yourself that what happened to you isn't an indicator of how your future will go, and that you're not helpless. You may not be able to change a highly stressful event, but you can change how you interpret it and respond to it. Accept change. Accept that change is a part of life. Certain goals or ideas may no longer be obtainable as a result of adverse situations in your life. Accepting circumstances that cannot be changed can help you focus on circumstances that you can alter. Maintain a hopeful outlook. It's all about hope. It's hard to be positive when life isn't going your way. An optimistic outlook empowers you to expect that good things will happen to you. Try visualizing what you want rather than worrying about what you fear. Along the way, note any subtle ways in which you start to feel better as you deal with difficult situations. You can learn from your past. By looking back at who or what was helpful in previous times of distress, you may discover how you can respond effectively to new difficult situations. Remind yourself of where you've been and how you were able to get past that, the strength you have, and what you've been able to learn from those experiences. Man, it's easy to grab a quick fix just to get by, but where does that leave us, and how have we grown based on that? When you think about your journey, get up to that higher vantage point so that you can really see the landscape, see where you're going, what tools you might need for your journey. It's important to plan and set out something that you want to execute, something that you're passionate about, not just getting by every day, but something that you really want to shoot for. Everyone is trying to find their purpose, but they feel like it's going to dump in their lap and be this exciting, nicely wrapped package. But really, it's on that journey to self-discovery that you find what you're passionate about and how you can give back and embody your purpose. So it's going to take you. It's going to take you wanting it. You know, resilience is a critical tool. We need it for a successful journey of self-discovery. It will help remind us that we're never stuck in one place or in one way of thinking. It will show us that experiences, good and bad, are what teach us who we are and what we want out of life. We have what we need to take another step forward today. Through our exploration, we've realized that even if we don't possess it at this very moment, we have the resources to enlist support from our support network to guide the way. Are you ready to get going? If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, don't be quick to embrace quick and easy. You deserve success and the time it takes to execute a well-thought-out plan. What you have today is enough, and it will get you through to tomorrow. Reach out and let those you trust guide the way when it might feel easier to call it quits. I know you can do it.
Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you, how I wound up here. All I needed.